Hey, good afternoon. The pastors of Berean are gathered around the mic, minus Pastor Sean. I'm not feeling well today. Looking at an article from one of our church attenders from the HuffPost with the title of "These Textbooks in Thousands of K-12 Schools Echo Trump's Talking Points." Subtitle, "They're Religion-Centered, Anti-Democrat, Anti-Science, Anti-Multicultural Message Mirrors the Christian Nationalism Seen at the U.S. Capitol Riot." Written by Rebecca Klein, January 15th, 2021. She goes on to say, "Christian textbooks used in thousands of schools around the country teach that President Obama helped spur destructive Black Lives Matter protests, that Democrats' choice of 2016 nominee Hillary Clinton reflected their focus on identity politics, and that President Donald Trump is the fighter Republicans want," a HuffPost analysis has found. The analysis, which focused on three popular textbooks from two major publishers of Christian education materials, Abeka and BJU Press, looked at how the books teach the Trump era of politics. We found that all three are characterized by a skewed version of history and a sense that the country is experiencing an urgent moral decline that can only be fixed by conservative Christian policies. Language used in the books overlaps with the rhetoric of Christian nationalism, often with overtones of nativism, militarism, and racism as well. Scholars say textbooks like these, with their alternate versions of history and their emphasis on Christian national identity, represent one small part of the conditions that lead to events like last week's Capitol riot at the U.S. Capitol, an episode that was permeated with the symbols of Christian nationalism. Before storming the Capitol, some groups prayed in the name of Jesus and asked for divine protection. They flew Christian and Jesus 2020 flags and pointed to Trump's presidency as the will of God. The linkage between Christian beliefs and the violent attack on Congress has since pushed evangelical leaders to confront their own relationship with Trump and their support for the rioters. "These textbooks made this brand of nationalism more mainstream," said Kathleen Wellman, a Southern Methodist University history professor who is working on a book about the two Christian publishers. "I'm struck by how coherent of a worldview the textbooks promote and how thoroughly it resonates in current culture." Representatives from...
Do you think she means that in a positive way or a negative way? Any thoughts?
Probably negative.
Yeah.
We haven't gone through the whole article yet, but...
Well, no, just that she's from a Southern Methodist University who's writing a book about these curriculums, and she's saying it's made nationalism more mainstream and how coherent of a worldview the textbooks promote and how thoroughly it resonates in current culture.
Which naturalism, or what she's talking about, is bad.
The nationalism?
This isn't good.
Well, either way, if she's saying it's bad or if she's not saying it's bad, it doesn't matter because the Huff is quoting it as something negative.
Negative, all right.
Representatives from BJU Press and Abeka did not respond to inquiries about how many schools use their products. However, a 2017 HuffPost investigation found that about one-third of Christian schools participating in private school choice programs used a curriculum created by these two publishers or a similar company called Accelerated Christian Education. For those who are familiar with it, that's ACE. Amounting to around 2,400 schools. The number of schools using these companies' products that do not participate in a voucher program likely amount to thousands more. Voucher programs allow students to use taxpayer funds to attend private schools. Both Abeka and BJU Press have ties to Christian colleges. Abeka was launched in the 1970s by Arlen and Becca Horton, who also founded Pensacola Christian College, a Florida institution that outlaws dancing and other satanic practices, such as astrology.
Okay, that was funny.
Sorry. So, sorry, listener, my undergraduate is from Pensacola, and Nate attended Pensacola.
But I got out of there quick.
Yeah. You know. I avoided satanic practices.
You wanted to
dance
and do...
He wanted to perform satanic
and
practices.
And do astrology.
Yeah.
Those most important enjoyable activities for all human beings.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, he looked at his signs and it said, leave now.
BJU Press is affiliated with the evangelical Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina, which famously lost its tax-exempt status after banning interracial dating in the 80s, a policy it didn't reverse until 2000. We unequivocally condemn any rhetoric that promotes illegal or violent behavior, Amy Yohi, managing editor of Abeka Publishing, told HuffPost. One of Abeka's core goals is to teach constructive citizenship through textbooks that accurately represent the facts of history, enabling students to learn from the life lessons it teaches, both positive and negative. BJU Press did not respond to requests for comment. However, scholars who study religion in America say that many of the ideas present in the publisher's textbooks overlap with rhetoric heard from the rioters last week. Christian nationalists argue that the United States was founded as a Christian nation and has a special covenant with God, meaning that its citizens must implement a particular vision for this country or they will fall out of favor with God. The textbooks parrot these ideas, said Andrew Whitehead, associate professor of sociology and director of the Association of Religion Data Archives at Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis.
Can we stop there for a minute?
Sure.
I mean, Jack, would you agree with that? That...
Clarify what you want me to.
All right, would you agree?
all of it or none of it?
No. You don't get all right, back. Would you agree that the Abeka curriculum and Bob Jones curriculum is teaching that? Let's see. That the country will fall out of favor with God if certain. Visions or certain things aren't implemented in the way that he's arguing for this.
No. I've used both textbooks as a history teacher. And both textbooks, especially dealing with world history, open with the creation of the world. So you do start with the view of Christian creationism.
Which they're going to make fun of later, they don't teach evolution.
Right. Well, that's not totally true either, but we'll get to that.
The special covenant. That was the part I was looking at. That we were founded as a Christian nation that has a special covenant with God.
I think what happens is that, and this is one of the problems I had with these textbooks, and still do to some degree, but I can't find a better alternative without going to a book that I feel would be too revisionist, that would detract from the mission of God in the essence of it. But what happens is they'll use guys like Thomas Jefferson, who I would hope that most people around this table would see as a deist, not a Christian, and they tout him as a strong Christian.
What is the difference between a deist and a Christian, Jack?
Okay, so as a deist, he believed in a higher power. He may have believed in a God who created, but that God, by and large, left things to follow a natural course of laws that he set. Thus, we have nature's laws written in the Declaration of Independence. Endowed with certain unalienable rights would be a part of nature's laws. It is really we don't want to completely lose God and be atheist, but we want to follow Enlightenment theory of John Locke and some of these other guys. I find that in Jefferson, but in John Adams, you definitively had a Christian. When you go to George Washington, I think that you definitively had a Christian, though deeply flawed, because he still held slaves and didn't view them in as high a dignity as he should have. Whereas Jefferson, though he was an Enlightenist, freed his slaves. And you just kind of look at these things. And, of course, we use older books. We've gone away from Abeka a long time ago, and that was because of a court case, which we can talk about a little bit later in the podcast as we go through. But they do – what's happening is – and here's where the nationalism comes in – is they do lean heavily to Western civilization perspective. And in particular, though, the types of people who founded this nation. So they don't get into and discuss, they'll get in and they'll teach manifest destiny, but they won't necessarily address the effect manifest destiny had on the indigenous people, the Native Americans.
And the injustice, and they'll
leave it almost in too much of a positive spin to it, and they won't bring enough negative. And it's because they're I think that they're trying to protect Christianity, and I think they would do better if they brought some of the less discussion points for teachers to bring out to talk about some of the counterpoints and things of that nature. I think they could do that without doing that. I think Bob Jones does a better job of that, but I wish they could go a little bit further. The best place that they've done that is in their science books, and that's because of the massive court case out in California that they lost.
Right, but I mean, I've taught both curriculums as well through the years, and I'm familiar with, and Brian and you and Nathan are familiar with Pensacola, and Bob, I'm familiar with Bob Jones, and I don't think either college or either textbook division would think that, yes, they would say that we were founded as a Christian nation, or as a religious nation on Christian principles, but I don't think either would say that, would acknowledge that the United States has a special covenant with God.
I don't know if they'd necessarily use those words, but I mean, growing up, I grew up from Inabeca from kindergarten all the way to high school graduation. I went to college and had a Becca there, except for when they branched out, but even then they were creating their own notes, which were basically at that point became a Becca books. They would, just as soon as this article would reference that they were as a Christian nation we are in a special covenant with God, they would also reference the Chronicles passage about if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and fly that banner, put that banner on the wall at home, you know, print it on a flag and fly it outside, like that's, they would do that. And right. So and I don't know if they would say they had a covenant. That usage of the word covenant, I think, might be a stretch, but a special relationship, I could see.
Or I could see, and I mean, I think we would all teach or believe that to the degree in which our nation or the majority of the people within our nation are doing right, the more blessing or the better off the nation would be.
Oh, absolutely.
As opposed,
I would disagree with you. I will not do that.
You wouldn't say go that far?
I would not, because I don't find that in Scripture. Now, it makes logical sense, and I would say that it seems like the more citizens you have that have the gospel internally, that your culture is going to be better. But I find no promise to America specifically as a nation.
Right, and I'm not saying just for our nation. I'm saying in any nation.
Biological outflow, yes. But you know, to me, that's extra biblical a little bit. I mean, and here's part of the problem with these things, because there are some legitimate things about what we as Christians are saying. Let me give you an example. You know, they're going to, let me define the there. People like the Huffington, the Huff Post, and people who are liberal are going to say things. They're going to use words like science, and they're going to use go after this idea of, Trump, how many lies Trump told, right? Okay, that's a big thing. And the hard part to parse out all of that is, well, some of it yes and some of it no. You know, how many people were out at a rally if he inflated that? That's obviously false. But if he's saying that he believes that there's a God that made the universe and that evolution is a false tale, then you don't get to decide that he's telling a lie when he promotes his viewpoint, which is I'm Christocentric and I believe the Bible, and so therefore I believe that it's, you know, two genders. I believe that God made the universe. So part of the problem is we struggle in America about discussing in really fundamental terms, what really the argument is about. And I think where we've gone off the rails a little bit with this Christian and American thing is we've made it about a nationalism. And the thing about it is there is no nationalistic Christianity.
Right,
it's
the
eternal. It's the eternal kingdom.
But I was trying to get across more general, like if England or Spain or whatever country, pick any country in the world.
You're speaking descriptively rather than prescriptively.
Right.
Right.
That, you know, if any nation is upholding moral laws and truths of God's word, again, whether they're just not even claiming Christianity. You know, but to the degree to which they are following moral absolutes, they are going to tend, and
it
maybe
would
not,
seem,
yeah. it would
their
seem,
society will do better.
Their society would do better. You know, pastors brought to our attention over and over again, you know, the homes that have a man and a woman as a husband and a wife, their children do better. They live better. You know, there's better outcomes in that family.
Yeah.
Than in a broken home or divorced homes or other types. And so we're not, you know, does that mean that every man and woman, you know, are saved in the world that are married and don't do it? No, of course not.
Nor does it guarantee success.
Right, nor does it guarantee success.
And I guess the word I was focused on was teach it. Would I teach it? And the thing to me is, but I would not make that the priority. And I think that part of the problem, you know, getting off track is that groups like Becca and other groups and Christian, maybe not on purpose, maybe it's just like a human nature thing that people have gravitated to, but it's almost like we've got focused on the Constitution and the flag rather than Christ and the gospel. And so we have a bunch of kids who are very confused. And so I think the specific language does need to be clarified, you know, to say things like, you know, you are privileged to be born in America. God sovereignly placed you here, but you have no business being arrogant about being an American versus an immigrant because you had no choice about that. So stop putting up things on Facebook that say, you know, heaven has walls and gates and a strict immigration policy and hell is wide open. That's arrogant.
Right.
That's not the gospel. And yet one of my good friends that used to attend this church put that on Facebook 4 days ago. We are so confused about what's important in America. And I think that it does begin at the educational level because, you know, my son's church, they had a big fight about should they spend $40,000 on a flagpole and an American flag for the front of the church or towards their budget that's ailing.
Wow.
Big old battle. That shouldn't even be a battle. That shouldn't even be a question.
It must be a huge flag.
And I might get the number wrong, 40,000. I can't remember. It was it was an impactful amount to their budget.
But to your conversation about would one of these textbooks go that far as saying we have a special covenant, God has a special covenant with America, having taught government using both textbooks, I will tell you this, that a Becca would leave a young person with that thought. Bob Jones, not so much. The Abeka's wording is, and it's kind of what you guys were saying, was the connection of morality, conservatisms, and things of that nature that closely align with Christianity would put us in a better position with God, but that's not really how they word it. They word it more like you're a graduate, you would know.
Yeah.
The idea of that if my people, which are called by my name, and they basically put America as the replacement of Israel in that passage. The thing that we have to remember in this is that as we're going through this and everything else, these books are going to be trying to teach history. And what's unfortunate about all of this is Christians are conservative. So these books are going to be conservative. They're going to call for in favor of strict constructionism of the Constitution, which means that if the Constitution says it, that's what it is. And if it doesn't, then it's not to be pushed and stretched. They're going to point to Warren Burger's ascension as a Supreme Court justice in the 1960s. They're going to start talking about the things that began with that, the removal of prayer from school, Roe versus Wade, and they're going to begin hitting on a lot of points.
Yeah.
And what's happened is Christianity and the Republicans have had parallel conservative ideologies. And you're right, Jonathan. I think we've gone to a point where we as Christians have unhitched ourselves from Christ and more hitched ourselves to ideology of the Republican Party. And thus, we get demonized when they want to attack the central figure of the Republican Party, most particularly in the last 4 years, Donald Trump.
And I would want to submit because
he had a super, super, super high rhetoric for nationalism.
I want to submit maybe three reasons that we do that. Number one, it's simpler, okay? You know, because talking points are a lot easier to understand. They're really kind of cut and dry. But, you know, a lot of times the situations aren't really that cut and dry. There needs to be a dialogue and a discussion about, you know, things like immigration and you know, welfare and those things. And at the end of the day, you know, we discuss them and we come back to our conservative points. But what I'm afraid is that we have a bunch of children who don't know how to think through that. And don't know how to read their scripture and say, oh, here's how I should be thinking, because they've just been told some talking points.
Are you talking about the 30-year-olds?
Yeah. So it's just simpler. You know, it's just simpler to say Ronald Reagan was the greatest president ever. That's just simpler. Okay? Did he align with a lot of things that we believe? Certainly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he did. Okay, so Ronald...
So that makes it difficult.
So Ronald Reagan was very much an anti-homosexual. You know, he would not have accepted the homosexual lifestyle. He would have condemned it. He would everything else. And when AIDS was this is from his own son. When he said, when my father was president and the AIDS epidemic first kicked out, he had absolutely no compassion because it was a homosexual disease. Until his fellow actor and friend had AIDS and had to come out of the closet. Then he began moving with Congress to begin to move things.
Yeah.
So what we have to realize is we haven't had a perfect Democrat president. We haven't had a perfect Republican president. All of these men are deeply flawed. God's word is true. And that's where, but here's the thing, if you don't want a God, you definitely don't want a textbook that's still pointing to him.
Right.
Even if it's too closely aligned to a political party's talking points.
Yeah,
and not doing a good job of at least making the students aware that there are points of argument that need to be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, God seemed to bless the expansion of the United States, but at what expense to the indigenous people? That's not a conversation you're going to have if you're teaching strictly from that book. So, and here's the thing. These publishers, they have a way of laying it out and going, This page to this page this day, this page this day. And Christian schools are well known for taking that and just taking the canned product and running it and never supplementing into these things. And within the realm of the ACSI, Association of Christian Schools International, there's a huge push now among that organization to completely break, not from the Christian textbooks, but to break from a prescribed curriculum from the Christian textbooks, use them as a guide, but to be aware that as you culturally hit these points that your book is not going to address because they're marketing to the ultra-conservative community to which they're selling, you have to bring these things in. And this is the damage that the HuffPost brings, is they're not going out there and finding the Christian organizations that are trying to train educators to find the balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course not.
No, they're going to find the ones that
because,
are on the extreme.
Because right. It's not, because it doesn't fit the agenda of the article. And we always have to be discerning that way. That's why it's one of our ideal graduate profile objectives, is to create students who are discerning.
Yeah.
Well, and to add to that, Jack, and I think like with you being the head of school, right, and being somewhat influential on like what curriculum you use, then you as a Christian educator have to decide, what are you going to compromise?
Right.
Are you going to compromise no God? Well, certainly not. But are you going to compromise a BJU or a BECA where you might miss the manifest destiny and its harmful influence or impact on the natives?
And, you know, here's the thing, too, is that you know, as a school administrator and just as people in general, we love it when someone's already done the work for us and we can get a product, a package that's you know, ready to go.
Right.
But because it kind of makes things predictable and sustainable. Because, you know, maybe all of us have had one really great teacher in our life that went above and beyond the textbook, but those don't come along every day.
No.
No. And so you're going to have something that's kind of, it's in the middle of the road.
Weigand put me to shame. She had the history class that I took the year after her, and they were telling me some of the stuff she was doing, and I was like,
she didn't use textbooks.
Exactly.
Right. So that was just one thing there.
But see, there's,
you know, is I can't remember who said it. Was it Bill or was it?
But she followed the chapters.
There's ditches on both sides, right?
But she followed the textbooks. Chronological, which it should be because it's history.
But she would be using resources that probably would do justice to dealing with those things that, like BJU is compromising.
But I would submit that there's not a lot of people out there doing that.
So no, just exactly.
Take the textbook, and that's the same, probably the same thing in the public schools.
Well. Yeah, and so you know, and you get absolutely. That. I mean, it's like taking your junior U.S. history class and laying before them. Okay, here's a speech from Robert E. Lee, in which he's definitively promoting the idea of state government rights, and he can't draw his sword against his native land of Virginia, basically seeing the state greater than the central government of the United States. And everybody loves to grab a hold of that one and say, it wasn't about slavery, look at Lee, look at what he said here. And Jeb Stuart and Jackson, Stonewall Jackson, would be in that realm of people that would have those kind of documents. But when you give them a speech by the president of the Confederacy, Davis, and he's using the N-word and says, we're absolutely not going to let them take our slaves, they don't have the right to our property, and it's not about the right of sovereign government, it's the right of property and ownership, you have two men, leaders in the Confederacy, with opposing ideologies, yet on the same side of a war.
Yeah.
And
that's the complexity I'm talking about.
And nobody's going to take...
Well, it takes farther?
It takes a teacher breaking either from the public school book and the Christian school book to ever have that conflicting conversation.
Well, and Jack, even a step farther from that is the immigration, white immigration in the North, and those immigrants would not go fight for the North because of fear of losing their job to these future slaves. So then there's even like that component, or even the Reconstruction period of the slaves moving North and then not being accepted. Like, we wanted you to be free, but we want you to stay there.
And nobody gives Lincoln's speech where he actually addressed that and said, I will never free the slaves because of that reason, until he was forced to in slavery. And even then he took a weakened stance with it, even though we promote the Emancipation Proclamation as this great, strong document.
Yeah.
It really wasn't. It left the door open for slavery to continue to exist. All the South had to do was between September and January 1st, stop fighting. And they would have been able to maintain their slaves, but they didn't. So we had two more years of warfare. And those are the things that these textbooks leave out. But I like in another paragraph that we're going to get to, I think, and I'll see if I can pick it up here. By parroting such conservative political views under the guise of Christianity, the textbooks give those views more legitimacy, making it difficult to distinguish between fact and opinion. While all textbooks, I appreciate this sentence, while all textbooks, including the secular, cherry-pick narratives.
Good.
And have their biases.
It's an honest statement.
That is an honest statement. Of course, now they're going to walk it back a little bit with the next clause.
With their bias,
But the idea of it is that they do recognize that any textbook is going to have a bias and a slant to it. They're taking particular emphasis on this because of the Facebook post that you mentioned. That's why they're going, these ones fuse a religious worldview with Trumpian talking points using anti-media and anti-immigrant rhetoric. And that's the unfortunate part, is how Christians pushed ourselves into this position by treating Trump like he's Jesus light, Messiah light, and the savior of America.
Yeah, and I don't think it started with Trump. I mean, it started way back when we started focusing on the idea that what we need to do in this country, and I don't know, there's a balance, because I'm not saying we just stick our head in the sand and don't do anything, but I'm talking about teaching students to think and teaching, so we get adults who think through these things. But when we started, you know, really attacking this idea of legislation, that we are going to be very active, and that the answer to our sin problem in America was to make America, well, great again, and that the problem is we didn't really focus on the sin. I mean, so here we are, we're storming the Capitol, right? When
we weren't there.
We need to storm their bedroom and take away the Xbox where they're having explicit conversations with their friends on them.
Right, but even in that, John, I mean, I feel like we live in a world where everybody's just lumped in one of two categories.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you're either the Black Lives Matter rioter, Antifa, and, you know, you're all that, or you're
when
this...
clearly that's the minority of the BLM.
The white supremacist.
Or, right, exactly. Or on the other side, you're a Christian white supremacist, and you're going, I'm not either of them. Right. I'm not a Christian white supremacist. I condemn white supremacy.
Yeah.
But I'm not for either of them. But that seems,
or the fact that you voted one way or the other determines
right.
All
but the way like the Huffington Post
associated with,
you know, they're throwing, you know, if you voted for Trump, then you know you're a rioter and you're this and you're anti all this other, and it's like, okay. You know, they're definitely going to extremes, and that we are seeing that more and more, and it's so difficult. I think I was – well, it's just – it's like you know, anybody can put anything they want to on the internet, and there's no fact-checking. There's no ability to filter any of it.
Yeah.
And so it's left to the reader to read it and go – yeah, that's a bunch of hooey, and no, or okay, I see some truth and a whole bunch of error, or a whole bunch of truth and a little bit of error, or whatever, as we read through these things. But again, that's why, you know, it's so important to not just believe everything you read or everything you hear, and realize that you do have to
educate
yourself. And
yeah, so what happens is, Romans chapter 3, then what advantage has the Jew? You know, Paul's come off this idea of the Gentiles, when they do the things of the law, become the law and are then held accountable to the law of God. The Jews were given the oracles of God, and yet they were unfaithful to them and everything else. And so he goes into, so there is no advantage between being circumcised or uncircumcised, and on and on. And he asks, so what is the advantage that has the Jew? What is the value of circumcision? Much in every way, to begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, everyone were a liar, as it is written. And so what happens is, I told my students this, is that the more we make our society void of God, there's going to come something that has to create the standard of law and operation. And we were looking at the major world religions and worldviews. I said, so somebody has to create this law. So now society has to create it. And society has to determine what we're going to hold as a social construct of right and wrong. And when it's found to be flawed because of the faithlessness of the people under it, there's no God to attack anymore. So now they're left to attack each other or the government. And that's the United States right now.
Well, and a good example of that would be the athletic movement with transgenderism.
Right.
Where you have the real pro-feminist who wants women to be equal and to have power. And they don't know what to do with this transgender movement because men are whooping these women. So you have the pro-transgender saying, you're not a true feminine because he is really she.
And they're like, no, it's biological women we support.
And I think what happens...
But they can't fully come out and say that because so many of these organizations have intermeshed themselves trying to be politically correct.
But they're eating... Right. They're going to eat
Well, the
each
broad
other
brush that you were talking about, Steve, hurts them too.
Yeah.
It hurts them too, just like it hurts us. And I think And what particularly is interesting in our nation, because we're really talking about America, because this is, you know, linked to these textbooks, right, history, and all that, is the one of the reasons, you know, I said,
he's,
I think,
our God, we're,
yeah,
people.
Three things, you know, I said, the three,
yeah,
things.
You make, you know, it simple.
Yeah, make it simple. It's simple. The second one is because we see a decline, okay, in a linkage to the commands of God. So we could definitely, as Christians, okay, say that when our nation was founded, those people who inhabited our lands would be more in line with the Bible and with the commands of Christ than we currently are this hundreds of years later, okay? So when we see, when you see a decline, then you feel like you want to do something about it. You got to do something about it. And I understand that. So the question is, well, what's going to be effective? And I think that's where we really struggle, you know, how to fix it. So it's simple. It's also because we look around and we see people, you know, calling females males and males males, and it blows our mind. I mean, like, we're panicking. Like, we're, you know, we're worried. We hear phrases like, I'm worried for my grandchildren, worried for my children, and with right good reason, because this just seems like it's going nuts, right?
Okay.
And so, and then...
Number three.
I think number three is because, and this is a negative one. This is not a positive one, I don't think. It's because you don't want to give up the stuff you already have. Okay, there, we've got to be honest at some point. And Republicans and conservatives, some of it is just they have stuff, yeah, and they don't want to give it to anybody else. They have power, they have wealth, they have privilege, and we can't totally deny that. When we totally deny that, we lose credibility. And that's our, been our tack for over 100 years, and now we've really lost credibility. And I'll make this one point, and then I'll shut up. But when you have an argument with your wife, okay, there's two ways it can go afterwards, right? You can confess that you were wrong and immediately, you know, fix the relationship. Or it can be this slow simmer for days until you get back to where you were, right?
Right.
And I think that's what happened in America. We freed the slaves, but we didn't call them totally free men. It was a joke. You know, they were two fists and all that stuff,
right,
you know? And so, you know, I don't think it would have happened. I don't think it could have happened. But if you could say, you know, right after we freed the slaves, the next day they had every privilege and right that white men had, we wouldn't be here. But that's not what happened. So we are struggling still with this thing that happened that was horrible and how to deal with it. And you know, part of the problem is it isn't simple. It isn't. It's complex, and we need to have honest discussions. But at some point, we also need to call the press into account for calling everything a lie. Look, I believe that if you say we came from an ape, you're a liar, and you believe if I say God created us, I'm wrong.
Right.
And so here's the thing: we got to learn how to live in a country where I believe God created me, and you believe that you're just an accident.
Right. And the article goes on. It says, obviously, it's too simplistic to say these textbooks are causing people to think something, but they play a unique role in giving visual credibility to these ideas by having them be in a very traditionally trustworthy artifact, says Adam Lates, professor of history and education at New York State. There's a sense that they couldn't put it in a school book if it wasn't true. And then he goes on, he says, Huffington Post's previous investigation of these textbooks found that they also dismiss evolution as junk science, which, of course, as if you believe in the Bible, you would say that evolution is a junk science. Mm-hmm. Yes, we would teach it as a theory, but it's not going to be in line with the Bible. They characterize Nelson Mandela as a Marxist agitator who helped drive South Africa to radical affirmative action, and suggest that Satan hatched the idea of modern psychology. Many of the schools that use these books also ban LGBTQ students and families, and the books repeatedly condemn homosexuality. So again, you know, they are written from a Bible-based, truly Christian perspective, and we are going to take the Bible at face value, and if the Bible says that homosexuality is a sin, then, of course, that is the standpoint from which they're going to write. At one point in a Beckett textbook, slavery is described in purely economic terms, saying that slaves seem to be better investments than indentured servants.
That's accurate.
Okay. You know, so again,
that's why we don't use a Beckett
right
in high school. Beyond third grade, really.
you know, so no, we're not saying that, you know, and I guess the point that we're all trying to make is that none of these textbooks are 100% perfect or good.
So here's the deal. ACSI, on behalf of Abeka and Bob Jones and in a school, had a court case against the University of Southern California and the admissions director, Roman Stearns. It's ACSI versus Stearns. The court in Pasadena, the Ninth Circuit, ruled in favor of Stearns, saying that the textbooks didn't contain enough counter-argument and were such a strong Christian perspective with a disregard for the secular perspective that the students were not properly equipped in a college preparatory manner to be ready to take courses at the University of Southern California because they don't really have a Christian perspective. And the court said, therefore, these textbooks and these students who were trained in these textbooks cannot enter in 101 courses. They need to go through 100 remedials. So they're going to spend an extra semester at school.
Right.
Get brainwashed.
The it's not helpful, brother. Court of Appeals, the appellate court, upheld the lower court, and the Supreme Court refused to see it to address it in 2010. It's why one of the first moves I made was moving to Bob Jones.
Right.
Abeka said, we're not going to adjust our textbooks, and they have not. Still to this day. They've added new material for the progression of time, but they haven't changed the areas of controversy from these really, really strong radical statements. Bob Jones has. They went back and they added exactly what the court case and the recommendations of the court was to make it compliant with. And yes, they do give it a negative spin, but they did bring it in.
Right.
And again, that's because they don't want to alienate their Christian base, which is their entire market who sell to.
Yeah. Right, because that public school is not going to buy their books.
Right. So then you get into a high school, so that you got two quotes here from Abeka history books only dealing with Obama's administration, President Obama's administration.
Set down farther.
The one that I want to point out is one, I think that Abeka's quote, many Americans' view about race relations had improved at the time that Obama was inaugurated. I don't know if that's true. Or if it was just left simmering and unspoken.
Like right now with Biden.
Unfortunately, Americans' views of race relations declined after Obama came into office. Race riots in places such as Ferguson, Missouri, and Baltimore, Maryland, greatly escalated racial tensions and worsened strife between minorities and local police. President Obama's attempts to resolve these problems often seemed to make the situation worse. And the books do not mention that such protests came in response to the deaths of unarmed black men, including Michael Brown and Freddie Gray Jr., at the hands of police. A high school level textbook from Bob Jones also blames Black Lives Matter's movement for racial discord. It says, despite President Obama's call for racial harmony, his 8-year term of office saw an intensification of racial discord, no doubt. Several controversial shootings of black men led to protest. Yes, they did. Some of which were violent and destructive, with black communities bearing the brunt of most of the destruction. Absolutely. Groups such as Blacklight, and here's where they mess up. In my opinion, this is where they messed up. Groups such as Black Lives Matter sharpen the divide between police and citizens, and black and white with divisive rhetoric. In fact, what they should have done was extreme racial groups on both ends of the spectrum.
Right.
If they had done that, you would have a much, the Huffington Post wouldn't have as much to grab hold of.
Right.
Right, because running over a black woman with a car didn't help.
Right. Right. And then mixed messages from the Obama administration, the Department of Justice in particular, seemed to increase the racial discord. And yes, we kept hearing different things. We heard different things from Trump and the Justice Department. We heard different things from President Obama and the Justice Department. I'm quite certain, given enough time, we'll hear different things from President Biden and the Justice Department, because these are citizens. They're deeply flawed. They're elected. I think it's unfortunate, though, that they pointed out the Black Lives Matter, but they didn't address the white supremacist. And that's why we end up getting lumped.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then they said other targets of the textbooks include globalists, environmentalists, multiculturalists.
Right.
Advancing the achievements of Western civilization as an act of hatred toward other culture. They encourage people to define themselves by race, sex, or sexual orientation rather than the pillars of Western civilization, such as nation, family, and God. However, many conservatives and Christians within America have attempted to quell these philosophies and once again turn America into a united moral nation. The textbooks don't give a full-throated endorsement of Trump, noting his crude remarks and previously liberal positions, but they ultimately represent him as someone on the side of Christians who is fighting for their values. They give another quote from one of the Abeka textbooks, and we won't read it because it's really long. Evangelical Christians were one of Trump's most important voting blocs. Though white evangelicals only represent 15% of the electorate, they made up 23% of the vote during the 2020 election. 8 in 10 white evangelical Christians voted for Trump last year. Let's see.
And there's a quote from Donald Trump using scripture.
Right. When you open your heart to patriotism, there's no room for prejudice. The Bible tells us how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Psalm 133:1. We must speak our minds openly, debate our disagreements honestly, but always pursue solidarity. Again, obviously, he took the verse out of context, so we were... that's a whole other discussion.
We do not approve that message.
Right. I mean, yes, is it good for us to strive to live in harmony with one another? Yes, of course it is. But again, this verse was not speaking to that. Do we need to speak our minds openly, debate our disagreements honestly, and pursue solidarity? I think we would all agree, as much as possible, as Paul said, live peaceably with all men. So that maybe that might have been a better verse than Psalm 133:1. Let's see. Then
they go into the January 6th
riots. Then they go into the riots. There were Christian flags along with American flags. The rhetoric focused around saving the nation, defeating enemies, promoting the will of God. With distorted versions of history and nods to white Christian supremacy. Last week's insurrections could have been her classmates. One person that had graduated from an evangelical Christian school said, and she looked at different pictures. She said, over the course of my life, I can see how what I was taught in Christian schooling has impacted me, and the riots on January 6th played into it. The whole belief system revolves around the idea that you want the rest of the world to think like you, who is now a social worker. The ends justifies the mean type of thing. And again,
that's on both sides of the line.
I would say that as Bible believers, we're not going to say the end justifies the means.
We should not.
But that's why we weren't going to the riots either.
Right.
I mean, we wouldn't say that. And the idea is, okay, my belief system doesn't it's not that I want the whole world to think like I think in that way. My desire would be, as Christ said, for all men to come to know him.
Yeah.
So yes, as a true believer in Christ, I want all men, all women, all of mankind to trust the God that I trust and to believe in the name of the Son of God.
Man, both of y'all are starting to sound like the sellout Bruce Springsteen in the Jeep commercial.
But I'm not going to say the ends justifies the means. That's not Christianity.
You know, the latest name they attacked, right?
No. Bruce Springsteen.
In his Jeep commercial. Because it was like we've lost our way and we're a divided nation and we need to meet somewhere between red and blue.
Come
together.
Super Bowl commercial.
Okay.
And I think you can't even find it on YouTube anymore. I think Jeep actually pulled it.
Well, probably.
Yeah. I saw it trending. I saw articles blasting it trending.
You can still see the whole thing almost the whole thing in the Young Turks commentary.
What were you going to say?
Brian said that it goes both ends or both sides are guilty of this. And so the example would be something like if Trump gets impeached, I'm okay with it. I'd be okay with it in the fact of, okay, then we need to hold
several of the Democratic leaders who have used the same verbiage of like or worse than Donald Trump, like Maxine Waters of like, we're gonna, and like you can look her up on YouTube and it's pretty bad what she's telling her followers to do to conservatives or Trumpists or whatever. And I think like, Jack, what you said earlier with what they're doing with the curriculum, like Brian, going back to your point of like both ends is doing it. Like if we say we're a Christian, we should look different. And what I'm seeing from a lot of Christian conservatives, if they're posting something like "get your guns ready," like you've just crossed the line. Don't, you can't say stuff like that. But it's them literally saying, like, well, they've done this, they've rioted, now we can.
Yeah, and you know, one, please don't hear what I'm not saying. You know, we do the same thing when it comes to abortion. We hate abortion. We think it's horrible. But some of the end arounds and the things that they try to do to quell abortion, you know, smacks a little bit of that. It's difficult though because
you mean like the taking the video cameras in and secretly recording.
No, I'm talking about you know, we tried this tact. You know, we tried to get everybody on board with, you know, that killing babies is horrible. But we couldn't do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to take away privileges of doctors at hospitals or whatever. And it's not a great example because, but my point is this. It's like almost like on both sides, everything, all is fair in love and war. I mean, the end goal is to get rid of abortion. So who cares how we do it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure that's biblical. Yeah. Because, you know, the reality is, you know, if, let's just say if, okay, let's just say there's some legitimacy to losing votes, stealing an election. Let's say that happened. Don't we believe that God's hand moves the
Amen.
Events yeah. of a nation? So God used stealing, I'm using air quotes, listener, the election to work his will. And what we need to learn is to be okay with God's will. So here's what it really comes down to. We have a lot of Christians who don't really believe God's will works that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the discussion we need to have.
Yeah. Why have we hitched ourselves so much to a political party and a governmental ideology that may actually be opposed to God?
Or to direct ourselves back to the content of the article, is why have our Christian brothers and sisters attached themselves so much to a book publisher that they're not willing to distinguish,
okay, and
this is not accurate.
And I'm going to answer that. Okay? A far more balanced, like we talked about at this table, approach is found in ACSI's textbooks and in their purposeful design curriculum. Unfortunately, they quit producing it at 8th grade. Mm. In 9th through 12th grade, you now have to make a choice. You have two leading, financially capable of handling price point textbooks. A Becca, which is going to be half the cost of Bob Jones. So a Becca's coming in the $30 range. A Bob Jones is coming in the $60 to $70 range. Or I can go to a secular publisher and go into the $90 to $110 range for a textbook. And then I got to worry about, are my teachers strong enough to teach from a secular textbook and counter? And most Christian schools are not. I'm going to go out there and say it. In most Christian schools, the education is mediocre.
Yep.
And I hate to make that statement. It is great as far as pointing children to God, but the true educational thought process,
critical thinking, it
can be mediocre. Not in all of them. You have to be careful which ones you do. And for that reason alone, schools need to be investing their time in developing their teachers to be able to teach without textbooks. Or to be able to take a secular textbook and use it appropriately. Or to, like I said, or to take a Christian textbook and supplement
and teach it appropriately.
And teach it appropriately. And we just need to be able to work through that. And that's why I've been kind of researching into the Coulson Coalition, the Coulson Foundation, and the Colson Fellows, because they have a 1 year teach every subject from a biblical worldview professional development program. And when your teachers finish it and they get tested, they have to pass with a threshold test. And if they do that, then they get certified as Colson Fellows and can actually and really, really do the worldview piece.
Right.
And talking points. So.
Well, then the article finishes up. It says, in other places, teachers in public schools that don't rely on Christian textbooks are struggling to explain to their students the dynamics that allowed the violence at the Capitol to occur. In Chicago, high school teacher Raven, how would you pronounce her last name? Althimer discussed the harsh realities of the insurrection with her students who are black. They think of when they had Black Lives Matter over the summer, peacefully protesting and were tear gassed. People are literally storming the Capitol and nothing is happening to them. We can go back and look at videos, and all of the Black Lives Matter protests weren't peaceful. There were, and I'm not saying all of them were not, but there were a lot of riots going on. I mean, in our own city of Fayetteville, we had a lot of rioting taking place.
Right, and the minute you say you know the truth, you're not even accurate. Okay, so there's a theory that bricks were placed near a construction site right before the rioting in Fayetteville, right? I don't know if you've heard that.
Yeah, I've heard
but
that.
The reality is, we don't know if they were or not. I don't know. Look, Jonathan Andrews does not know. So here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to get on Facebook and start ranting about who placed the bricks.
And
I don't know
Soros.
If they were there for construction, just happened to chance.
Right, but we do know that certain, we know that JCPenney's was broken into and looted.
Yep.
Right.
During this time. That was not peaceful. We know that downtown was...
The market square was set on
fire.
Right.
And much was damaged.
Yeah.
Private,
he set himself on fire, too.
Privately owned stores downtown were damaged. It had nothing to do with any type of protest one way or the other. It was just looting and pilfering.
And what we don't talk about is the sin in all of this.
Exactly. Yeah. But then it says people are literally storming the Capitol. And again, yes, we would condemn that. But it says that nothing is happening to them.
That's not true.
Tell that to the girl whose YouTube video. She's got the piano scarf and she's been tear gassed. And
there are those that are in jail right now for what they did, being prosecuted. And one of my students said, if 20 of us had done that, we would all have been dead. I said, no, 20 of you wouldn't even have gotten that close. And that's the end of the article.
And that begs the question. So which side would you rather fall? Look, I'm just going to be honest as a parent. I would rather deal with a Christian textbook that's got some flaws, giving my children doses and doses and doses of God exists, He made you, you're a male or you're a female, you don't change, God doesn't change, the gospel is true. I would rather have that, and then I would deal with all the other little things than to deal with, we're just going to let them think for themselves. You don't do that to a second grader, a third grader. We talk all the time about critical thinking skills, right? And that's like, especially in the secular schools, and it's even worked its way into Christian schools. With certain parameters. I don't let my two-year-old think for themselves about whether the stove is hot. I build like a little barrier so they can't even get to the stove for a while. Because I know what they're going to do. They're not even going to listen to me if I tell them the stove is hot. So up to a certain age. But then, we expect. Let's have some discussions about these things and let's think more deeply. And I think that's another mistake is like sometimes education, especially Christian education, is just so mono chromatic that they just approach everything the same. But the reality is if you've been an educator, it's not. Young children do well with just repetition, and that's why Abeka's so great. They turn out to good readers, good mathematicians, good writers, because over and over, they have those charts, those Abeka charts. I mean, I remember them as a kid. We used them when we homeschooled our kids. We've used them in the classrooms here, and it just works. And but then, you know, as they get older, maybe it's time to look at something else.
Alrighty. Well, it's wrapped
up. Well, thanks for listening. If you have a comment, you can post it below. Or if you found an article you'd like us to read and discuss, you can either link it below or you can email myself, Brian, B-R-I-A-N, @bbcfnc.org. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.